Getting a little hot.
Our busy season. It's my favorite time of year for the game, I'm gonna be honest.
You know what? I used to be a fall hater. I used to think people used to just pick fall because it was mainstream. But
Not this mainstream. I like that. That's funny.
no, because everybody was like, oh, my fall's my favorite season. The leaves are so sparkly, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I think
Man.
I'm gonna have to side with them on that.
Man, honestly, being from Georgia, bro, the fall, I love the fall
I
because
think the
A,
weather
no
is
pollen.
perfect.
Yep, no pollen, and the weather is
It's nice
so
and
great.
warm. It's warm, but it's not too hot. So I'm starting to agree with people on that. I'm starting
Cause
to
now
understand that sentiment.
we about to hit the deepest part of hell in Georgia this year. Cause it's about to
Oh
get
yeah,
hot.
it's about to be ridiculous, bro.
Yeah.
It's about to be nasty this summer, man.
So I
And I
need
love the heat, but I'm like, yo, I'm preparing myself.
I'm telling you.
It's gonna be blistering hot out there,
Not
boy.
blistering, not the weatherman. So
Yes,
blistering.
sir. It's gonna be hot. I don't even. Oh man, yeah. Just I don't want to be doom and gloom, but it's gonna be hot as hell, bro.
I ain't no doom, it's reality, man. Nobody cares about global warming. I ain't gonna get on no soapbox, but don't nobody care. That's why we are in the situation we're in. All right. Okay, let's get started, man. Let's cut the shit.
Word to the mother.
Play some
Word to the mother.
video
Oh
games.
yeah, Jamel, I ain't forgot about you. Jamel said if it's okay if he could borrow a clip or two to put in his portfolio reel.
Yeah, hell yeah. Of course.
Yeah, I knew it wouldn't be a
I meant to
problem. I
text him
gotta get
yesterday.
that
Thanks for
to him.
reminding me. Yeah.
Yeah, I need to get that to him today because I want my brother to strive. I want my boy to strive out here, man. I'm proud of you, Jamel. I'm proud of that man, man.
Hell
But not,
yeah.
it's an easy road, you know. You could just go back to what you know. You know what I'm
That's
saying?
true.
But he's out here putting his best foot forward.
Big shout out to the homie,
Yeah, I pray for that guy, man. I hope, you know.
it will work out, man. We're gonna be
Yeah.
positive, bro. It's gonna work out for
I'm
him
gonna
and
get him them
everybody
clips
else.
tonight too. I'm gonna chop up some stuff and send it to him tonight.
Yeah, 100%,
So
100%.
he can get that reel going, baby. If he can get a job off of us being like helping, that would just make me feel awesome.
Oh, yeah, man. He ain't even gotta ask, man. I already know. All right,
Say
let's do
less.
this. Let's do this.
Man, you gotta run it by your peoples first, you know,
Nah,
because
man.
you are on
He
there,
the
you know what
homie,
I'm
bro.
saying? You just,
Nah, Jamel the homie,
yeah.
man. He the homie. No worries. God, boy, I gotta get some goddamn sinus medicine.
I've been having chest congestion. That's what my doctor been telling me. It seemed like that's been it, because ever since I took my little whatchamajig, it's went away.
Yeah, I
So,
was gonna say either that or get you some tussin, bro. Get that up out of you.
yeah. I had all that, and she was like, "Yes, that's the thing, especially when you get older. You just discover
Oh,
so
great.
much about yourself when you get older, right?"
Great. I love
Oh,
that.
yay! Another new
Yay.
every decade, you got just a new layer of what the hell.
Body slowly disintegrating. Awesome.
Damn, Rico, hey, that's crazy. I'm still trying to figure out how. Oh, he only had to be like 50 something, bro.
I saw that on Twitter. As soon as you had said it, I seen it. People talking about it. RP, man, Dungeon Family. All right.
I love the dopes.
Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 186 of the Super Weapon Podcast, most overpowered podcast on the internet. It's your boy Darius Artist, and as always, got my co-host DC here with me today.
What up, though? It's your favorite know-it-all who don't know nothing at all. And today, we are here to talk a little bit of video games, video game news, what's happening in the media here. And man,
We got
it's getting
some,
busy out here, man.
yeah. You know, like I said, man. Like we were talking just before we started recording. You know, this is definitely like this span of, I want to say, 3 to 4-ish months is probably my favorite time of the year, especially you know, because we're starting to get a lot of game announcements and a lot of cool reveals on stuff. And I, you know, I figured out what that was. It's because I think the quarter. That I think it's Q2 just started for a lot of companies. So they're, you know, they're trying to get a lot of announcements out the door, you know, get that hype up for a lot of their stock and stuff. And you know, it's a good time to be a gamer, man. You know, I think this is one of those rare runs that we're on where, you know, you have so many good games to play. I want to say it's been like that for the last, like, I want to say 18 months. you know, at least for me personally, you know, it's been, you know, a great time.
True. Definitely. And that's true.
Yeah. But yeah, I think the first thing we're going to talk about, you know, we've had a lot of great music discussions going on lately. So I felt like it was only appropriate for us to start with the news that you actually brought to my attention, which was the Twitch news with Dan Clancy, the CEO of Twitch, when he had an interview with a Twitch channel called Tweak Music Tips is what they're called. I said that wrong a bunch of times earlier. And I think they're like a music based, I think he's a DJ. The guy's a DJ, if I remember right, or he does like a lot of collaboration type of stuff. But yeah, he sat down with Dan Clancy and had like a Q&A. It was live, and he talked about some interesting things that I think a lot of people who are content creators, especially on the platform of Twitch, should be paying attention to. Whether you are a DJ or not, I think this news is kind of important to kind of focus on here. And that was him talking about how they are working with the music industry at large to figure out a way to start to monetize the music that DJs are playing on the platform, which I think is interesting. You know, we've kind of touched on the music stuff here and there as it's kind of come across the table for us over the last few years here. You know, Twitch has definitely been, they've been trying, I want to say, I think since Dan is taking over, Twitch is definitely trying to do what's in the best interest of not just content creators, but the music industry as well. Because as we know, the music industry could just put a stop to all of it. Like they could just be like,
yeah, they could shut it all down,
you know,
easily.
As we saw, you know, I don't know if people saw, you know, the whole thing. What was it? UMG and TikTok, you know, they had it out, and UMG wanted more money than they were getting from TikTok. And TikTok was like, no. And so they pulled all the music off the platform. So. Yeah, this was pretty interesting news as I started to kind of dig more into it. And I'm going to defer a lot to you on this, cause I know, you know, a lot more when it comes to like how people are paid when it comes to music and artists and
it's
stuff.
It's a mess, man.
But you
honestly,
know.
I kind of know, but I don't, because streaming has made stuff so difficult to gauge now.
Right.
It used to be a very simple formula. You just went by how many records were sold, and if you had singles, it went by singles,
right?
Which was a song off your album, which you put out. It was pretty much like a, I would say, for lack of better terms, a user-friendly, mainstream radio-friendly kind of song you put out there to kind of, it was almost like promoting your full-length album, right?
Oh, okay,
so you had
yeah.
the single, and then you had the album sales. And back then we had physical media, CDs. So it was easy to track those numbers in a CD. Let's just throw out a price. It was $14.99, right?
Okay.
So it's easy to track that when you say, oh, well, I sold 10,000 CDs.
So I kind of
know. Do that. Yeah, you do the math, and it's easy to figure out who gets paid what. The problem is now with streaming, the record labels refuse to put a dollar amount per stream. They keep it very secretive. Usually the number is really, really low, because let's use one of the big three. See what I did there? let's use Drake, for example. Drake is a universal star.
Yeah.
So he'll have a billion streams. Of course they're not going to give him $5 a stream. He'll be a billionaire. So now the numbers fluctuate between a penny to three pennies to, like, dude, they're playing mind games.
That is so insane to me.
Yeah, it's hard to keep. Long story short, man, it's so hard to gauge that nowadays. So
let me ask you this. So is the rate that they're paying, like, let's say that is a penny per stream for that artist, is the rate that they are paying the artist different from what they themselves yes. are being paid by these platforms? Like, so let's say Drake gets a penny, but UMG gets five pennies. Is that what I'm thinking?
It's rarely ever in favor of the artist.
Right. Okay.
The artist is always getting screwed. And that's why a lot of people like Snoop, you'll see like a lot of artists, they've been stepping up and they've been saying like, okay, well, we need to know what we're getting paid.
Right.
Because it's always these weird numbers. Like when you start researching it, you won't find an answer. Like, they'll give you answers like, oh, it's less than a penny. Sometimes you'll see less than a penny. You getting like 0.70.
That is so crazy. Weird.
And it's because, like I said, if they were giving Drake $10 per stream, and then you have an album that's on iTunes, right? Mm-hmm. So say if you listen to one song more than the other, that's an individual stream. They don't even count the whole album.
Oh,
just going by individual song.
That sucks.
Yeah,
it's not like a wholesale, like.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, well, this CD did this.
Right.
It's like, oh, well, these songs, like when they say an artist like a Beyonce, oh, you know, they celebrate Spotify and Beyonce did a gazillion streams. Okay, a gazillion streams could be $3,000. That's how crazy the game is.
So, I mean, and to that point, it kind of makes sense why, at least in my opinion, you have a lot of artists who are using kind of music to be like their foot in the door to the entertainment industry.
Yeah, they want
to
do other stuff.
And then they branch out to other things, or you'll see, you know, you look at, like you said,
merch,
Beyonce, Jay-Z, like those type of artists don't really, excuse me, they don't really have to do as much music anymore because, you know, because they probably don't want to, you know, it's probably
this artistry for them now.
Yeah.
Once you get to that billionaire level, like Beyonce just dropped a hair products, which is going to do phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's Beyonce. She just, her whole country album charted on Billboard 1 through 27. All her songs charted.
That's
she was
insane.
Number 1 through like 20 on Billboard. I think she still is. So whatever Beyonce touches, it's the Midas touch. She's going to do well. So you have artists like her, Jay-Z, they venture out, create businesses, do other things. But when they drop in albums, I feel like with them, it's just for the artistry. They want to create something. So
that's interesting, right? So like,
yeah, I was going to say,
like in relation to the, you know, Twitch and the music industry charging DJs for live sets. This is something I actually learned about researching this as well, that DJs they have to pay a portion of their proceeds to certain labels based off of the songs that they play live, like whether the that's sets. Like on Twitch or not, right? Like if they're at a Coachella or something like that, they'll end up, you know, they're paid and then they end up paying. So I wonder, you know, because one thing I thought that was interesting that Clancy talked about is that they already are, like Twitch themselves are paying the labels a certain amount of money right now, you know, just I think it's just like an overall amount. He didn't get into specifics, of course, but the labels, that's the only thing that's kind of kept them at bay, and the fact that they're actively working with the labels to try to figure out a potential solution to having having people being able to, you know, probably listen to music and play it on Twitch. So that's interesting.
I mean, with music, it's always a trick bag of getting paid. So I got a fresh pair of eyes on this as well, because I never really thought about how DJs get paid and who they would have to pay.
Yeah.
But if you look into it, if you look at most DJs, if you look at their set list of who they're playing, usually, not all the time, but sometimes they're usually under one umbrella. So say like, what's a record label? I just throw something out there. Universal. Well, right. I think they're distributors. I don't know. Just throw a record label out there. And if you look at like, I'm just throwing out names here. This is all names. Just say you got Rihanna, ASAP right. Rocky, and give me a third, ASAP Ferg or somebody. If you look at who they're under, usually they're always under kind of like the same label.
Right.
So I wonder if they like, when you're doing their set, you mix all three of them. It's just like, okay, well, I'm just paying this label. I'm just talking theoretically here. Please, 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 if you have any solid information on this, please hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up in the Discord, because I would like to know personally, because this is a mess. Like when you look at it, it's kind of like a mess, but it's a necessary evil, because I get it. People want to get paid for their stuff. And then, you know, Twitch.
Rightfully so.
Twitch always just in this. I try to tell people all the time, like, look, Twitch is a business. We have to start really being mindful of that, because a lot of people just get mad, or they get mad at Dan and they're like, oh man, you said it wasn't going to be this. Oh, we're being overcharged. Oh, this, this, and that, and the third. But it's like, on a business tip, hey man, people have to get paid. Like, if you created a piece of art, you just wouldn't want it just being like, you know, tossed all over the internet or whatever. You would like to at least get recognition for that, right?
Absolutely.
So it's crazy, man. Like, I looked at this and I was like, I want to see where this goes. And I want to know more back end stuff. Like, I would just really, really want to speak to Mr. Clancy about this, bro.
It does, yeah, like, I think people need to realize too, you know, how this could affect the platform at large, you know, because there's plenty of people, including myself, who listen to music on stream. And, you know, most of the time for me, I try to find as much DMCA free music as I can, you know, because Twitch's systems is built to where it will detect certain music, you know, in your VODs. It doesn't do it live like a YouTube or a TikTok, you know. I think that's just a matter of time for Twitch. You know, they're probably just trying to figure out the logistics on how they can make that work, you know, on their platform. But right. I think, you know, a lot of people were trying to, or were curious about how this could potentially work. And I had a couple of like ways I think they could possibly do this. And one way, which I think wouldn't work as well, but, you know, could be a possible short-term solution, is, you know, have DJs kind of submit their sets, you know, before stream or something, or, you know, hey, here are the songs that I'm going to be mixing or playing, you know, during my set on stream, or, you know, something along those lines. And then that way, maybe the labels can kind of cross-reference that with those. And, you know, I'm not sure how much of the pie they're trying to take out of a streamer's pocket at that point, because, you know, it's already, you know, streamers already don't get, you know, you only get 50% of the $5 that, you know, $2.50 of what you're making anyway, right? Unless you're hitting certain thresholds. So, you know, what if the music industry is like, okay, well, we want a dollar of that $2.50, you know, then that could severely affect DJs' revenues on the platform. Or they could do something, like I say, I was thinking like the live service, it detects what you're playing, and they just come up with a flat rate for just music being played on the platform. I wonder if that's what TikTok does. I really want to know, because I don't know how it works on TikTok either. I just know that TikTok has some sort of deal with the labels to where they allow the music to be played on the platform. And it's worked wonders for a lot of artists. I mean, you know, I found some pretty good music.
It's a give and take.
Yeah, it's like a give and take. And, you know, I think that's what people need to realize, because a lot of people are like, oh, man, how are they going to implement this? They can't enforce this. Like, yeah, they can. Like, they absolutely can.
They can. Like, people who saying stuff like that.
Like, you guys are ignorant.
And don't just stew in your ignorance. Start looking this stuff up, because you got to understand, man, if you're running any other business, no matter what it is, there's going to be little caveats and stuff that you need to know about, in terms of, you just can't go out there and just like, oh, I'm just going to make this money, do this and do that.
Yeah.
That's how people get jammed up with their taxes and all.
This
other stuff, because you're not looking at it. I just want people on Twitch, I want people on the other side to really, really start to open their mind. Just don't, you know, yell out on Twitter or the internet. Like, start doing the research, because, you know, they want to crucify this man at every turn.
Every time he talks, there's drama. People are angry.
Yeah, it's like, but when you really look at some of the stuff he's doing, it's business. It's legit business. Like, you know, people got to get paid. X's and O's have to be crossed for this platform to even exist. Because one thing you do not want to do is go against the music machine.
And honestly,
some greedy,
man,
bastards. And if, they don't get what they owe.
Right. And if I'm being like, my thinking is, if they come up with a viable solution, this could open up more music opportunity, or more opportunities for people to either play music, listen to music on the platform itself. I mean, you know, when that Future album dropped, was it a week, 2 weeks ago? A lot of the big content, you see a lot of YouTubers and stuff reacting to it on YouTube without any issues, you know, because of certain things that, you know, YouTube's policies are much different when it comes to music. I mean, they have live, Their detection technology is crazy. Like, their music tech is absolutely insane. And it's something
trust me, don't I know?
Same, right?
Yeah, YouTube does not
down,
mess
down
around.
to the second they will find that track. You know what I mean? And
they'll let you know. They'll send you an email. Yeah. Hey, at Mark 214 in the background, I think we heard a little Metro Boomin.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So I think it's interesting. I think a flat rate would probably work best. I mean. Because I know there are some streamers right now, you have the ability to separate the audio tracks from your live stream to where they don't show up in your VOD. I'm too lazy to do it. I know how to do it. I just don't want to redo all my audio. I think it's a pain in the butt. I don't play music enough for that, for me to warrant myself to do that.
Right.
And, you know, like I said, I think this isn't going anywhere. And people just need to realize, like, Dan is, you know, every time he appears, you know, from the mist, from the mountain, the mountaintop of Twitch, he talks about how he wants the platform to be profitable and how things have to change. I mean, it just has to for the platform to grow. I mean, I know a lot of people think Twitch is the king of the mountain right now with live stream, but that can always change, you know. And, you know, everybody has the jokes about Kick, and yeah, they... They have a lot going on over there, but I think Kick is at least trying to move in the right direction, and they seem like, at least from what I see CEO and stuff, are saying they're committed to making the platform something actually, you know, good and viable and safe for people to not only stream on, but to come to. Yeah, so
it's going to be a lot of changes on Twitch, and the people who do dumb shit, they're going to be the main ones complaining. I guarantee it. The people who just went over there just think that, you know, they could do whatever they want because they're on Twitch, they'll be the main ones complaining. But right. Twitch doesn't care because they're thinking about profitability. At the end of the day, it's always about business.
Oh,
so
100%.
If you don't align with what they're trying to do, then hey, you move over to what's that joint? There's another streaming platform that's kind of loosey-goosey. I can't think of the name of it.
Not kidding, was it like DLive or something? It's one of those? Or
It'll come to me, because I know, like, there's a lot of other people who use that in the music media world. I can't think of the name of it.
Oh, okay.
Right. But yeah, so it's like, also, this is why I champion things like Amaze was doing with, you know, his music show.
Underground Uprising.
Dub. Yeah. I believe the brother name is Dub Music. His co-hosts,
I think so.
And what
yeah.
they were doing, yeah, that's why I really championed what they were doing, because essentially I was talking to Amaze about it, and I was like, you know, I see the vision, because you guys could have like a Kick soundtrack, you can, you know, curate music being used specifically for Kick that people could listen to. Like, you guys could essentially get artists from your talent show, and y'all can, like, create a legit Kick soundtrack and then have people use it in their streams without having to worry about getting any strikes or anything like that. So, you know, the music, when it comes to like music and streaming, man, it's always going to be a cat and mouse type of thing. It's always going to be a back and forth. You know, it's never going to be I don't think it's ever going to be perfect. But I do believe, you know, the CEOs at the top of these platforms, it seems like for the most part, they are trying to integrate and make things work. So, you know, shout out to them, man, because it's not easy. Like, a lot of people, y'all really need to understand that when you're dealing with music, it's no joke, and that shit is not easy, man.
Nah, I mean, absolutely not. And I think this will open the doors for Twitch to hopefully open the doors to Twitch to have other types of content on the platform. Like, you know, imagine if Twitch partners with, you know, Coachella, or, you know, the DJs playing there, and they have like an official broadcast of, you know, what's going on there, performances and stuff, and that revenue is shared.
That.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That revenue could
YouTube,
be shared to
broadcast live.
Yeah, they do, and that's what
right,
I mean. Like,
yeah.
That kind of stuff would be cool. I mean, you know, I know people are, you know, kind of iffy about that kind of stuff, but it's coming. It's going to happen, and at least they're trying to, at least both sides are trying to figure it out. Cause from where it was before that, the music industry was just trying to axe all of this. You know, they were trying to get rid of it completely. They were like, we don't want music on Twitch at all. So, shout out to Dan, man, once again.
And you don't understand, like, how much people like use music for their streams. Like, it's a thing. It's a major thing. And I was just thinking about like moving forward, like GTA RP, for example. You know, that utilizes a lot of music. Even if it's like
That's a good
in-game
point too.
music.
Yeah, the radio and stuff. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, the radios that's in GTA, like it's crazy because people were getting strikes for that. Like you had to play GTA with your music cut off. And this
Yeah,
was
and I
music
mean,
specifically made for the game, so.
which is insane to me. I mean, you I remember I know a lot of games nowadays will try to do it. They'll try to do that DMCA free
It'll
mode.
have
I mean,
streamer modes and
yeah, Cyberpunk did it. I don't know how well it worked on Cyberpunk. I don't remember if any of my VODs got muted when I played Cyberpunk on stream. I don't think so. But then again, I didn't listen to a lot of music. I try to avoid as much as that stuff, much of that stuff as I can while I'm playing games, honestly, if I'm being completely honest. I mean, it's just not worth the headache, you know, to get a strike on your channel or to get a, you know, a DMC, you know, some sort of DMC action taken against your Twitch. So, just, you know, once again, as always, guys, you know, try to educate yourself on this stuff, man, 'cause you know, changes are coming and it could be sooner rather than later from what Dan was talking about. And of course, if you guys want to go watch the interview yourself, go to hold on, I had it in front of me. Tweak Music Tips. It's a tongue twister, man. Twitch.tv/tweakmusictips is where that interview took place the other day. So shout out to that person
Please
for
watch
talking to
that.
him. Yeah.
Please.
It's not like a
I'm
super
all
long
about
interview.
being informed this year, man.
Yeah.
Because I really want people who stream, if you're really trying to really, really get your shit off in this content creation business, we, myself included, you know, we really gonna have to start like learning the business side of it. Because right now I'm just knee deep in
Yeah.
YouTube. Like learning like what's going to get my stuff striked, all types of stuff. Like I'm just trying to learn because nothing's worse than creating a just beautifully edited video.
And have it not go
Wait, it's
anywhere.
been way, Darius. It's oh so beautiful. You spent like 4 or 5 hours editing this video. You got everything in place. Sounds great. You go to upload that shit. Soon as it finished, like YouTube is fast. They like,
It won't
nah,
even let you publish the video anymore. Like
yeah, it'd
you.
be like, boop, like that little check mark. It shows you, it'd be like, oh, I forgot what it says, but it's one paragraph that says like they're checking for music and if you got something in there, they are quick. And I sit up there and I'm just like, it totally derails a whole video.
Yeah, and it's
Because
deflating too. It's kind of morally, you know, it hurts, man. You're like,
yeah, we was
damn.
talking about that in Bronze chat the other day, and she was like, I got so many like save drafts of stuff there. I just was like, I don't even want to post it now because the time has passed too, right?
Yeah.
So you got these clips, you're probably creating a timepiece for that moment. Like, say if some news dropped yesterday, okay, we could use Future in them again. Oh, Future album drop, a specific song you want to talk about. You want
Right.
to kind of catch it in the moment. But then when your stuff keep getting striked, that's like 3 days later, then you're like, oh, well, I missed the moment. Because other people then posted their stuff and it's just like, eh. But I say to that though, still post it, man.
Yeah.
Still post it. You'll be surprised. Still
Try
post
to
it.
stay a part of the conversation. Yeah, that's one thing I will say, 'cause you know, funny enough, I do watch a lot of most of the stuff I watch on YouTube nowadays is reaction content, and I actually watch a lot of like music reaction stuff, especially this, you know, music that I want to listen to or just kind of hear people's opinions on certain things, you know. It's
Oh
interesting.
man,
You know,
I'm a junkie, bro.
it's an
I didn't
interesting
listen to
conversation, you
so
know,
many
so
cold hot takes. I didn't listen to every J. Cole hot take from here to. I've listened to at least 100 videos. I'm
Hey
not
man,
gonna
shout out to
lie.
J. Cole, man.
We love you, J. Cole.
Shout out
We
to J.
love you,
Cole,
man.
man.
We love you, but don't do that no more. But we love you.
So yeah, man, that's the whole music stuff, man. Any updates that come across, we'll see it. If you guys have any, like DC said, man, if you guys are more knowledgeable about the stuff, we would love to hear from y'all.
Might be a guess.
Because
Hell.
it's just like, you know, it's a lot of the information is hard to find. So, you know, the more we can kind of compile and put together, you know, the better it'll help not just us, but other content creators as well. So just keep an eye on that. Don't be playing music on your streams and DMCA music, because it will get struck. So yeah, that's that, man. Moving on, man. It's I don't know how I kind of feel about talking about this. I sent it to you the other day, and that's the rumors of the next Xbox. And
we are moving, aren't we?
You know,
it seemed like they're over it, or is it just me?
And that's like, and that's like something we're console. Gonna we definitely gonna, and that's something I wanted to talk about too. So a YouTuber posted a YouTube video, Colt Eastwood, talking about rumors of the next generation Xbox. And I know it's crazy that it's crazy to say the word next gen, because it doesn't feel like we've been in this generation for very long. And you know, it's when I go back and think about it, it's like, damn, it really has been 4 years since this generation started. But it just, and I don't know if it's because of COVID or our lives have just kind of have that black hole from like 2020 to 2023.
It really, dude, it does. I was talking to, I can't remember who I was talking to about that on Twitter. It may have been Conscious Lee.
Yeah.
Somebody I was talking to on Twitter. And we talked about that. It's definitely COVID. There's without a doubt about it, because you got to think, we were in a house for forever.
That's true.
So it's almost like that year didn't even count, right? Like, now when you look back at it on hindsight, it was the weirdest shit ever. Like, am I the only one who feel like that?
No.
Like, we legitimately, the world
stopped.
There was nothing going on. Like, I remember driving down the street and there were no cars.
It was like something out of a movie, man. Yeah, it was definitely something out of a movie. And
it was the freakiest shit ever.
Yeah, and I think what really kind of started this whole conversation off, because there's apparently an email floating around from Sarah Bond, the president of Xbox. She sent out like and she's kind of talked about it too in like interviews. You know, they've talked about they're excited to announce not next gen hardware, but they're excited to announce new hardware this year. And I think a lot of people are thinking that they're going to announce either some sort of all digital Series X, possibly a handheld Xbox console, but you know, now rumors are starting to spin up of next gen hardware, not just for Xbox but for PlayStation as well. And I don't know, me personally, man, I just feel like things are kind of rushed, you know, in this generation as a whole. For me, when it comes from a tech standpoint, I think it's kind of a little bit lackluster for me personally, you know, because there was a lot of promise of, you know, true 4K gaming, 60 frames per second, you know, high frame rate fidelity gaming. And
don't get me started.
You know, and that's not just Xbox either. It's PlayStation as well. I mean, you know, up until I think a year ago, 2 years ago, you know, PlayStation didn't have a 1440p mode or performance mode on the systems. But yeah, so, the rumor is that Xbox is working on, obviously, next gen. No, it's not a rumor. They've already said they're going full speed ahead, actually, on next generation hardware. So people are, you know, word on the street is they're working on a console as well as the handheld device that will, you know, go hand in hand, with the handheld being able to have, it has some sort of docking station, which kind of made me think about the Nintendo Switch. And you know early rumor, word on the street is that some of these consoles could launch as early as 2026, which I think is just absolutely absurd. I'm not saying it can't happen, but do you feel like this generation in general, like, you know, because you have the Series X, you've had one for a while, so like, how do you feel like this generation has gone so far? Do you feel like it's been kind of like a letdown for you, or?
Not necessarily, man. I'm willing to give them grace. I'm willing to give them grace because of what we just spoke about a couple of minutes ago, as far as with COVID and stuff. I believe a lot of companies are scrambling to, well, not scrambling, but I think everyone had to shift, right? Everyone had to make adjustments and kind of do what was best for them. And I think a lot of these companies, they slowly recovered, yeah, especially with the gaming industry. So I know they probably looking at COVID like it can go to hell too, because they probably messed up a lot of this generation's plans. Like, with the Xbox, PlayStation, yeah, everything. You know, PlayStation did what they did, but imagine without COVID. Imagine if everybody could have had access to a PS5 immediately. You know what I'm saying?
Or if there wasn't a shortage of parts from them to actually make the consoles. Right. Yeah, that's true.
Right, and it's just like...
Excuse me.
Well, I think now, correct me if I'm wrong here, a lot of them shortages came because people couldn't work, right? at the time?
So it was, yeah, it was essentially...
Or was it deeper than that? Because I remember...
I mean, it was essentially that. So like the factories that were producing the parts were shut down for a while, just like, you know, the rest of the world.
Right, okay.
You know, but that did not slow down the demand for the consoles themselves. And
exactly.
I think, you know, a lot of game studios kind of had to pivot their plans, their development plans, because they had to figure out how to work from home. And, you know, I'm kind of in agreement with you. I think they were just kind of underprepared for, and who wouldn't be, right? Like a world changing event happens. Right? And I feel like, you know, maybe this generation, it kind of feels more like a mid-gen update to me versus like something that was truly supposed to be, you know, because when I think about like consoles, the history of like gaming consoles and stuff, you know, back when we were younger, you know, the next thing that came out, you know, it looked like something you couldn't even imagine what you were going to see on these things. Right. And then you start to see these games come out. And, you know, I think honestly, COVID put the gaming industry as a whole in a tough spot. And maybe they are
ready to move on.
Yeah, maybe they are just ready to move forward. And this could be a shorter generation. I'm doing air quotes here, shorter, you know, 6 years. Because I think the last one was, what, 7 and some change, you know, from was it Xbox One, PS4 to PS5 and Series X was like 7 years. So, you know, I think it kind of lines up a little bit with that timeline. But, you know, I do have some concerns, you know, for PlayStation and Xbox, because you're already at this point where, you know, the console sales are starting to kind of plateau, just in general. You know, that cap for most consoles is usually between, I think, 100 and 120, 130 million, like, lifetime sales. If I remember right, the number one selling console of all time is the PlayStation 2. It was 160 million units. I think right after that's the Switch, then like the Wii or, you know, just so on and so forth. So I think it kind of caps out at that 100 and 150 million kind of plateau. And, you know, it's like my concern for these companies is like, how do you get consumers to buy into another set of consoles where they feel like, you
they
know,
just got these,
where
right?
they feel like they just got these. Cause now you're just now to the point now where you can walk into basically any store, you know, your local retail store and get one of these consoles off the shelves. I feel like over the last like year and a half, that just really just started changing. So, you know, it's a difficult thing to kind of to think about. I mean, and then you look at companies that may be developing games right now, like do they stave off trying to launch on this generation, or do they kind of do like, you know, a cross generation release where, you know, it releases on this gen and next gen? I think that's going to happen either way, because of just the nature of the business now. Like, nobody's going to just right out of the gate just drop something for a PlayStation 6 and that'll be it. Sony's not going to do that. They're going to try to get as much money as they can. They're going to try to, you know, so from a technological standpoint, how do you show someone that it's worth buying this over a PlayStation 5? Because you can't just have the game be 4K 30 on both systems, because then I'm going to look at it like, why do I need to buy this now? I can just buy it on PlayStation 5. I don't need to invest in a PlayStation 6 or, you know what I mean?
You kind of answered your own question. It's going to have to be a performance-based thing.
Yeah.
We're going to have to hit these performance benchmarks if that's the case. Because like you said, like if they push out something and it's almost like we're getting the same thing, I mean, who's going to buy that? Who in their right mind is going to invest in that? I feel like with this generation, honestly, I feel like they just dubbed it. Like, they just was like, yo, everything's just been kind of out of whack.
Yeah.
You know, it was almost like putting a Band-Aid on a hatchet wound. Like, we're just going to throw this out here, and then we're going to just prepare for the next console. And it seemed like that's what Xbox is doing, because it seems like, you know, Sarah Bond using a lot of these buzzwords of AKA we moving hell on type deal, right?
So, yeah, you know, trying to get people excited. Oh, it's going to be the largest technological leap of, you know, ever.
But what does that mean, right? Because this is my thing. You know one thing about me. My pet peeve and what I hate more than anything is industry buzzwords.
All that fluff, yeah.
You keep adding all this fluff McGruff to this bullshit. Like, if you keep saying we're getting these super technological advances, I want to be playing my games Like, I don't want to see any more. No, I don't want to see any more 30Ks or whatever.
I mean, 30 frames
per second. I said 30Ks. Boy, this boy crazy. 30Ks? Yo, but anyway,
30,000 frames in my eyes.
You talking about Vegeta, Scouter breaking, eyeball explosions, right?
But that's so funny, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, what you said, you know, the tech has to match the rush.
And for me, like, it's not even just more powerful. I want to see what... Because you have companies now that are starting to explore AI. And I know what people are thinking. Oh, I'm not talking about, like, AI-generated content where they're making stuff, like,
making whole games. We're not...
Right. I'm talking, like, using AI to enhance. Like, I mean, you look at a lot of the cool stuff that Unreal Engine 5 is doing right now, where they're using AI to... where they're using AI to kind of change how the rendering of the engine works, and where it's where things that are closer to you are higher fidelity versus things that are farther away, and it's happening in real time. So as you move through the level of a game, it kind of maintains that quality. I mean, you look at what Hellblade 2 is going to be looking like. I'm actually really excited to see that game. And Gear 6. I mean, we haven't heard from Coalition in a while. They've been real quiet. And I think honestly, it's about time we get a Gears of War 6 announcement, and I think it's going to come this summer. That's my one tinfoil hat just shot in the dark.
They're going to have to do a lot for me to get back into that game.
I mean, I'm in day one. I've loved Gears. I know some people weren't very happy with Gears 4 in particular. Gears 5, I think, did better, you know, minus some people were unhappy with the way it ended. I'm not, no spoilers. You know, you have to make a choice about a certain two people, whether they live or die. But I think it's about time for Gears to come back. And, you know, when I think about next gen, it's the thing that gets me most excited is the Xbox handheld. Because if you give me something to where I can play day one, you know, I can play it on my Xbox handheld, whatever they're going to call it, then I can come home and dock that into the next gen Xbox and then continue to play on my TV. Like, that's exciting to me. That to me looks like next gen. You know, you're taking it's beyond just frame rates and polygons at that point. You know, I don't care about 4K. I'm gonna just keep it honest. I can play all the games that I have in 4K. I play damn near everything in 1440p because it's a buzzword. You know, like, you don't really get unless you're looking at a large TV like 6 feet away. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't really notice the details. Like, you know, I have a pretty nice monitor that I've had for a couple of years that, you know, is 4K capable, but every game that I play is in 1440p because I prefer frame rate over everything. And, you know, if we start to get you add AI on top of that, you know, just like we talked about, what was it, last episode before that, you know, you have like dialogue options for NPCs, make them a little bit more natural, fill out these worlds. I think that's more exciting to me versus just, this PlayStation 6 can play everything at 4K 60. Because then what's next? Well, like I said, what's beyond that? Because I'm a consumer who has a PC, and I prefer to play on PC, you know, versus a typical dad or, you know, person who may not have access to PC gaming that plays everything on console. You know, I don't know, man. Like, I'm excited for it, but at the same time, I feel like we just got here. Like, I feel like we just got here, man. I don't know.
Yeah, and the sentiment across the board is the same. A lot of people, it's not just you.
Yeah.
It's not just me. Like, a lot of people who, you know, are gamers and stuff have expressed the same sentiment. Like, yo, it feel like we just got our hands on these consoles, you know, but...
And I think, too, like, you look at, like... you know, young adults who are growing up now. I think one thing that people kind of underestimate too is consumers aren't as ignorant as they used to be. You know, like, you consumers are a little bit more informed when it comes to purchasing certain things, especially when it comes to tech.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, Xbox
and they have more options as well.
They have more, exactly. Right. They have way more quality options. And, you know, you look at, like, you know, Xbox and PlayStation, they have to compete with mobile as well. You know, they have to compete with iPads. That compete with iPhones. You know, you can play Roblox and Fortnite on pretty much anything.
And you made that point. You said something last episode about that stuck with me. Like, you have a whole generation that's born now and grow up with
they grow with tablets in their hands. Yeah.
This generation, we talked about it at work as well. It's crazy to think we have a whole young adult generation who grew up and they don't know what it's like to not have internet. That's crazy. I remember a time when I feel kind of special because I was born when the internet was born.
Right.
We
remember the before times,
first got here. So they looking at me like I'm a damn Brachiosaurus, like, damn you all. But it's just funny to see that that transfer over. Like, maybe like your youngest one, you like, yo, you literally was born into the internet.
Yeah. I mean, like, she plays a lot of Fortnite with her friends. Like, that's their thing. You know, she likes some other games, but Fortnite is like her main game that she plays with her friends. And you know, I think a lot
what
of people
is she playing on Fortnite. Is she playing Fortnite or is she playing the Rock Band in there or Lego
she's playing
Fortnite?
She's playing, I think, No Build, I believe. I'll ask her to double check, but I think
that's my girl. Yay. Yeah.
I think she's all in on the Build. No Build Fortnite.
She was playing Build, I was gonna say, man, put her up for adoption, bro. She ain't right.
She'll tell you that she's not good at other games, which isn't just not true. I mean, she's been playing Last of Us 2 on and off. You know, she kind of gets a little, you know, scared. You know, I don't want to say scared, but a little anxiety in some of the gunfights and stuff. But for the most part, I think Fortnite is probably her thing.
Last of Us will definitely do that.
Yeah, I was about to say, it happens to all of us.
She's an adult now. Right. That game, of all games, I could see where the anxiety and tiredness come from. We've made a whole episode about it. Go back and you know, way back in archives and look at that one.
But yeah, man, I just, you know, I think whatever the next generation looks like, I think it's gonna be geared more towards not our generation of gamers, but just trying to bring in more of the younger crowd and getting there, because they're just like you said, you know, they're starting to grow up, get jobs, and they're starting to
the Gen,
you know,
they're Gen Z,
yeah, I think. And I think, I'm pretty sure they're Gen Z.
And Zoomer? I don't know. I don't be keeping up with that stuff. Hey, young kids, have fun, man.
Yeah, she will. She will. And Lisa's in chat. She says she will play anything. She's like me. Yeah, she does. She has a pretty good, I think, palette when it comes to playing
gaming
a lot of
palette.
Different games. Yeah.
Welcome to the fold.
But yeah, I mean, like, a lot of people have to think about it, man. Like, Fortnite and Roblox are, in my opinion, they're still the two most popular games on Earth. I mean, it's just something that,
it's worlds,
yeah,
because those games created multiverses or universes, like, within their games. Like, you have so much. It was crazy because I was watching Krista stream the other day, and she haven't played Fortnite in a while.
Yeah,
and she was so confused. And she was like, "Yo, where did all this come from?" She was like, "What is this?" She was just clicking on games.
Yeah,
and I had to explain it to her. Me in the chat had to explain it to her. Like, "Yo, like, it's like Roblox now. Like, there's different games you can create."
Yep.
And she was like, "Oh shit, like, I didn't know." Like, she didn't even know about No Build.
Yeah. Oh wow. So yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see. Like, I don't know, it's gonna take a lot for me personally to get to buy in if they do drop 2026. Mm-hmm. We'll see. You know, Xbox and Sony have made promises before that they haven't kept. I'm honestly more interested in what Nintendo's doing. I think I'm more excited
to get a Nintendo, so I'm watching them.
Yeah, like
I want to make a valiant effort.
Whatever
their next console is, I want
to
get it.
If we're being honest, man, like they are the true innovators when it comes to consoles. Like they don't you can't even nobody can ever predict what they're gonna do with their next console. You can only kind of guess. I mean, nobody thought they were gonna go
left field every time.
Yeah, like nobody thought they were gonna go from the Wii U to the Switch. Like, nobody had any goddamn idea that was gonna happen.
Like, like the concept.
Yeah.
Like the whole. I remember when the concept first came out, and people were like, "What?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see how that works. Okay, like what? It's like a handheld TV."
Especially since people thought handheld gaming, because there was a time and point where handheld gaming was pretty much gone. It was done. It was done and dusted. But I think we're starting to kind of, you know, we talked about it before with, like, you know, the ROG Ally, Steam Deck, you know, whatever this Xbox handheld is going to be. You know, it seems like we're starting to kind of come around and get back to that point where handheld gaming is starting to make a resurgence. So it'll be cool to see. Yeah, man, I don't know how true his sources are. You know, Cole Eastwood kind of hit and miss with me sometimes, man. Like, he's a nice guy. I like a lot of his content. But, you know, I always tell people with rumors and stuff, man, just take it with a grain of salt. So until you hear from the horse's mouth. So we'll see, man. We shall see.
The industry is definitely crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, let's round this last one. I'm actually pretty excited to talk about this, you know, speaking about gaming and stuff. So we had the Fallout TV show released this week. You know, they dropped all 8 episodes on Amazon Prime Video. You can actually go and watch the first episode for free. You don't need Amazon Prime to watch episode 1 right now. And
watch it
just out of the gate. I was going to But, you know, I've only watched episode 1. You said you've watched 3 or 4 of them.
I think I'm at 4 right now. Oh, well, yeah. I'm in there.
And, you know, I really wanted to talk to you about this because, you know, you are a very big fan of the series. You've played quite a few of the games. Like, how do you kind of feel like the show holds up to the franchise as a whole? Like, do you feel like it represents the franchise well? Because I don't really have a
baseline,
you know what I mean? Like, to look at.
You don't need to. That's the joys. I think with this, and I was telling my brother yesterday about X-Men 97.
Yeah.
I think what makes these shows good is you can just get in there and watch it.
Right.
There's no need to, like, especially with comic book movies, to where you have to, especially in Marvel's universe, where a lot of people feel like you have to watch, like, certain amount of movies or different movies to kind of watch a new one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, but I was telling him, like, no, X-Men, I was like, just go watch it. Just watch it.
Yeah. You'll enjoy it. You guys are, man. Oh, God.
But we're here to talk about Fallout. We'll talk about X-Men later.
Yeah.
Fallout is in the same situation, man. Fallout, like, you don't need to really have played the games, because the thing about Fallout is, I'm only familiar with Fallout 3 and 4. I never played the OG one or part 2. It was. Yeah. My knowledge is just 3 and 4. So if y'all want to chime in with the 1 and 2 knowledge, like I said, hit us up anytime. But you don't need to know the story, because it's in the world, but it's not continuous. Like, 3 and 4 are two different stories in the same world.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Because there's no like real protagonist. Like, you are the protagonist. There's no like named protagonist of the
show. Like, they pick us, like, there's a story, like part three, God, it's been so long since I played 3. All I know is basically, like, toward the end, you're trying to purify the world, some water purifier. I can't remember. I have to look it up. It's been a long time since I played 3. 4 is more relatable to the show, because on 4, you're a guy whose family is killed and they kidnap your baby son. And you go out into the world looking for your son.
Jesus.
On the show, it's, you know, there's a girl looking for her father. So, you know, they kind of relatable.
So for the people who don't know, what's like a quick elevator pitch for, like, the Fallout series as a whole? Because, you know, I know
it's sci-fi.
Little stuff here and there. So it's like an apocalyptic, you know, nukes were dropped on the Earth.
Apocalyptic sci-fi thriller. Yeah. Like, if that's your bag, you will fit right in here. It blends in a lot of these elements, and if you're familiar with the game, it's a lot of, like, Easter eggs and little things from the game that they put in there. Like, for example, right, when the ghoul, aka Mr. No Nose, that's what I call him. When he was in that shootout. Brother.
Yeah,
when he was in that shootout and it was going in slow motion, that's actually in the game. That's one of the things in the game where they do that real slow mo, and you could, like,
zoom in on individual
body parts.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of little Easter eggs, like with the dog mead. The iguana meat and stuff like that. Like, there's these little bitty sprinkles of the video game in there. And people who are Fallout fanatics, they'll be like, oh, ha, 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 you know. But I don't think there's humor in there, but it's well-placed. It's not, like, over the, like, forced, and you're like, oh, that was cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's extremely violent. It's a violent show.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I think that's something gory. that kind of surprised me was.
But Fallout is. If you play the game Fallout, it's, you know, people tend to think that when you hear video games, you kind of like, you immediately don't think violent, but at the same time, it's like, yo, yeah, Fallout's pretty gruesome, the video game. So you get these moments on the show where, like I said, you have these little moments of, oh, that was in the game, that's cool. But the show could stand alone. This is what makes the show good, because like I said, even if you don't know jack squat about the game, I will recommend that you watch it. There's a good story being told here. I won't say too much about that. I'll just say the story's good. My throat is getting dry.
Yeah, I keep sipping water in between talking.
Yeah, like, and the post apocalyptic setting, man, the sets are good.
That's what I was gonna say, man. Like, shout out to really Amazon, because
set designers, you know, stand up, man.
Their shows are kind of hit and miss with me, but the one thing I will give Amazon credit on is that they definitely put a lot of budget and money behind the shows that they make, you know. And I think that's a testament, and I think that's something that worked out really well for Fallout. You know, there is a lot of CG. I won't say a lot of CG. There is CG in the show, but I think it's done to the point where it's believable. You know what I mean?
And the robots.
I think that's the thing that really kind of, you know, piqued my interest with the show. You know, the setup was it was done incredibly well. Just like, you know, and this is, you know, no spoilers. This is like the first 5 minutes of the show of bombs dropping on cities.
They jump right into it.
Yeah. Like, it goes from 0 to 100 very quick. Yeah. And I think that's something that really appealed to me, was that and the action of the show. You know, the main character, I don't remember the young lady's name, who's like the actress of the main actress.
I forgot her name. Let me look it up.
But she's somebody, I think, who fits really well in the show. Because they, just like you said, like that weird type of humor the show has, like,
it's,
you know,
in the game. It's like, yeah. They did a really good job of transferring that weird, quirky sense of humor from the game into the movie. And it's not like overdone or underdone. Like, it's done perfectly. And even with the Brother of Steel, the robot suit, if you played the Fallout series and know what that faction is all about, they kind of hit that on the nail. It was well done.
Yeah.
And the robots are supposed to, if it makes sense, they're supposed to look that clunky and move that clunky, because in the game they're like that. You got to think, like, these are like technological robots. Yeah. They like, this is something that they put together post-apocalyptic like situations where you may be using car scraps or something like that. You got to kind of look at it like that. And so even with the robots, I was laughing because I was like, oh, this reminds me of the game. And, you know, robots were badasses in the game.
Yeah.
These settings. I want to see more set pieces, though, because one thing that I always loved about the Fallout series were the different settings. Like, in Fallout 3, there's a colony, or a, whatever you want to call it, colony, a group of people that's living in an old aircraft carrier.
Oh.
So you have a city built in an aircraft carrier. There's these big, like, set pieces in the game, and I'm just a nerd when it comes to that stuff, because you would hate, like, I watch movies two different ways, right? When I'm with people, and then when I'm by myself. So let me tell you the freak that I am when I'm by myself watching movies. Because I pause it. I like to look at the background. Amazon makes it even worse, because they have that screen where it has the actors on it.
Oh, yeah. When you pause, it'll show you. Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm looking, I'm reading the trivia. I'm looking at the actors' backgrounds. I am weird. Like, when I'm watching movies by myself, like, if you was to ever. Now, I would never do that if I'm watching with people, because people would probably boo me out the room. But when I'm watching movies by myself, I do all this weird stuff. Like, I get so into it. But with Fallout, with that being said, with Fallout, they really, really, like, the first city that they went to, it reminds me of Megaton from Fallout 3. Megaton was a city built around a nuke that didn't explode. So you have the city, it's a circle, and then there's a nuke just sitting there.
That's
and there's
insane.
A storyline to that in Fallout 3 that is crazy. It's insane. So Yeah, I want to see more of these locations. I wonder if they're going to give us more of those locations and then just as little teasers, like, you
Yeah.
know, little Easter eggs here, like, oh, this is such and such city, but in the game, it was actually something else. But yeah, I'm just a nerd for that stuff, man. I
It
love sets,
definitely, it
set
definitely,
design, stuff like that.
yeah, like it definitely piqued my interest in the series because, you know, I've never played, I think I've played all of like 2 hours of 76, and you know, it was kind of,
That ain't where you want to start.
yeah, it didn't really feel like it was for me personally. I know some people, I know that 76 has a pretty dedicated community to it.
It's
And let me tell
grown.
you, Xbox is stay smart, boy, because I think yesterday or Thursday when the series dropped, they announced a it's either $25 or $45 bundle with every single Fallout game in it, including 76,
And
for
it
sale.
the people playing the game is like out of control right now. Like their
Yeah,
numbers are spiking like crazy.
they know what they're doing. I want to say, like, I feel like we're hitting this good point in TV shows and movies with games. You know, you had the Mario, you had Mario movie, you had Sonic the Hedgehog 1 and 2.
They're getting way better.
The quality's starting to, we're starting to finally get to that point where, you know, gaming can exist outside of just like gaming IPs can exist outside of just the actual games themselves. And you know,
Easy.
because I mean, I don't even want to do, I'll even give Halo Season 2 a respectful nod because of you and Iron Bangle. Shout out to Iron Bangle, because you guys have been talking about it and saying a lot of positive things about Halo Season 2. I have yet to go back and watch it. I do plan on it at some point.
You can't go in with rose-colored lenses, I'll tell you
Yeah,
that.
I'll say that. Yeah, and I
The
think that's
accuracy is
okay.
off. The accuracy is off, but the amount of effort, I feel like they legitimately did kind of sit down, have a talk, like, hey, like you could tell the effort was there. Like, is it perfect? No. But like I said, I'm starting to be a little more gracious when it comes to that.
Right.
And I'm just kind of sitting back, kind of taking it in for what it is. Like, this is their vision of Halo and the Master Chief. So be it. Just give me good writing, give me a good story, give me
So
good action,
let me ask you
I'm
this then.
accepting.
When it comes to video games, right? Video game properties being turned into film and TV shows. Are you a little bit more lenient on them exploring different things with games than you are with comics? Because I feel like I
Ooh.
am, I kind of feel
Ooh.
like I am that way.
Ooh, good
While, you know, I
question.
do respect certain things that are being done with certain movies and stuff when it comes to games, and I mean, not games, to comics, but I feel like it's easier to manipulate stories and origins and, you know, stuff when it comes to games versus comics. Because I think the history is not there with games. Yeah, games
Yeah,
have been around,
comics
you know what I mean?
have
But
deep, deep history. That's why it's so hard to, like, let's just say Halo, for example.
right.
Like, Halo only goes back to like mid or early 2000s, whereas Superman has an origin of like
Since
1940 or something, you know what I'm saying? So to make Superman black or something like that,
shout out to
it's kind of
Valzai,
a,
man. People hate him. Shout out to him.
yeah, like to do stuff like that is kind of a harder pill to swallow.
Yeah.
With video games, do I give them grace? Well, the thing is, with me personally, I just need the story to hit.
Yeah.
I just need it to make sense. Like, whatever you're gonna do, long as it doesn't suck and it's
Right.
not too far left field. Like Halo, for example, I'm like, you know, we know Master Chief, we know we barely seen his face or whatever, blah, blah, blah. To me, season one, they went a little too far when we saw the Chief cheeks. Like when he was in love and all this, I was like, this just too, it's too far left. I think season two reeled it back in and it was like, we're just gonna focus on this, right?
Yeah.
Now, even though we still see his face too much, but it makes sense because of the storyline, because their suits were stolen. But, you know, no spoilers. But anyway, but yeah, like, I'm a little more lenient
Yeah.
long as you give me a good story. Just give me good writing. Don't go too far left. And I'm like,
I respect
all
that.
right, I can rock with that. I can rock with that. Now, my question to you is, well, first of all, I want to say this. The reason why we're getting more quality video game movies is I think it's a generational thing.
Agreed.
I think because more young people have grown up with games. Like, we came in when games was like, oh my God, you know, our parents was like, no, games are evil.
Games are the devil.
You're a nerd if you play games. Oh, you're a nerd, blah, blah, blah. But now with this new generation growing up, like we said, they grew up with the internet. They grew up with streaming, with games. So I think companies are making more of a valiant effort to make good shows like Fallout and Sonic series. Like, so you're going to see more and more video game movies, because this is another generation. This generation is really into games. So you're going to see it. I think as before in our generation, it may have been a little bit more of a harder sell. And plus, they wasn't pumping out the kind of money needed to make a quality movie, because we could talk about Double Dragon, we could talk about a Mario.
Shout out to John Leguizamo in Mario.
Wait, Street Fighter the movie? What, Street Fighter? We can go on and on about our generation of. But with that being said, I got a question to ask you real quick.
Yeah.
We seeing this trend of good video game movies. Do you think we'll ever get to a place with anime like that?
That's a hard question, because I don't. I think
as anime gets more and more mainstream, do you think we'll get there?
I think it is difficult to take certain. I think so. Let me just say that. I'll start by saying that I think we will eventually get to the point where anime becomes, it's already gotten a lot more popular than it used to be. You know, I mean, once again, you know,
solid Dragon Ball movie.
The youngest, she loves, she likes some anime and stuff here and there. Dragon Ball Z Broly was probably the best movie they've made in the last couple years. I'll say that straight up.
This
Dragon Ball Super Broly was, I liked it better than Resurrection F. I thought Resurrection F was a little too on the nose.
Superhero. Gohan, don't forget Beast Gohan. Don't do him like that.
See, guys, he's trying to set me off, and he knows it. He's trying to send me down a path that
I'm just noting the movie that came after Broly.
It was not good. I didn't like it because of the random 3D, and it wasn't just. I didn't like the art style of the movie. I think that's what kind of kept me from watching it seriously. Mm-hmm. And I think Dragon Ball, just by nature, is just built off of nostalgia. You know, RPU Akira Toriyama, of course.
It really is. It's nostalgia.
But
nostalgia,
you know, we've seen these villains before. We've seen Cell.
One and two.
We've seen Freezer.
Android one and two. Yeah. Kind of generic.
We've seen kind of these enemies they fought before, which is probably why I liked
Cell. Cell Max was garbage. Yeah. I'll say it out loud. Cell Max was trash. He shouldn't have never been created. I feel you on that.
Yeah, I think anime is a tough thing for some people to get into, because some of the stories are a little bit, they're not westernized. You know, the typical plot points and stuff is not what your typical Western audience will watch. I think if they continue to go down the route of doing like high quality anime movies with some mix of live action, you know, a lot of people praise the One Piece live action show. I still haven't watched it yet. Yeah, I know, fake fan and all that, blah, 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 blah. But I heard really good things about the One Piece live action show.
Is it true? Wait, is it true that the big piece is finally about to come to an end?
I think we're about 3 or 4 years out from that, if I'm being honest. Yeah, I think so.
That's still close to an end to me.
Otis talked about it. He said that this is the final arc, and I think people kind of took that and ran with it, where he was saying
those arcs could be long as hell.
Those arcs can last 5+ years with him, man, and but I think where people are starting to realize with it, because he's starting to answer a lot of questions that have been set up decades ago. Like, we're starting to finally we're peeking behind the curtains to some of the biggest answers, the biggest questions in One Piece. And I mean,
it's about that time.
Yeah.
I've been keeping up with a lot of news on it. I don't read it per se, but I've been keeping up with a lot that's been going on in the last couple of arcs.
I think personally, it's some of the best writing for Shonen out. Just me personally.
Go out on top, man.
Yeah. That's just
me
personally.
Go out on top, man. Like, if it is what you say, like, if it's just... And it's not just you. A lot of people have been very thrilled. Our resident One Piecer, Ivan, you know, he's like a big, big fan of One Piece, and he's been saying the same thing. I say go out on the top, man. Don't... and keep pushing it into a good smell.
He did us dirty a couple of weeks ago because the last chapter that came out, and this is it, Chad, because I know we're way over time, but the last chapter that dropped was one of the biggest bombshells that could have, like, it was trending on Twitter and everything, and then he took a 3-week break. So we're not getting a new chapter, I think, until this week, which is just people were losing their minds.
Yeah, I saw that. Though I ain't read it, I'm still on I actually went up in episodes. I'm on episode 22 now.
we're gonna talk about that beginning next pod. I've been keeping up with it, man.
I be seeing what's going on, you know. So yeah. I be there a little bit, you know.
But I don't know, man. I think anime still has a ways to go to kind of penetrate.
And
that,
they have different beliefs and values, right, which play a part into it too. Like their beliefs and values, like you said, it may not translate well
to everything
with Western,
but, yeah,
you know, society. And I mean, that's not like a bad thing. Like, no, I'm not saying like, oh, their values are trash, but they're just like, we might be like, oh, well, I don't get why.
I think people just have to be a little bit more open-minded when it comes to anime.
Yeah, true.
I think, you know, just like, you know, a lot of just like you said, beliefs, story structure, and a lot of that stuff is different from what you have typically in like American comics. So,
yeah,
I mean, that remains to be seen, but we'll see, man. I think it'll be worth it to talk about Fallout maybe like once we both finish all 8 episodes, because it's only 8 episodes.
Yeah, we could do like a little review.
Yeah, I think a little spoiler cast type deal would be fun to talk about. Ooh, it, because I'm really all into it, man. Like I'm all in on Fallout TV right
so
now.
So far, so good. I just hope the last 4 episodes don't start like a downward trend.
It doesn't, you know, seem, I mean, like it. A lot of people that I've seen that have finished it said it was great from beginning to end. So I got high.
Yeah, that dude
it.
With the head, man. What's that guy with the head? The ghoul.
I forget the actor's name, but yeah, he's an incredible actor, man.
I call him boy.
Oh, voices what's the guy's name on Invincible? The guy who works for the government with the scar on his face?
You talking about Cecil.
He's the voice of Cecil.
Yeah, the voice of Cecil. Yeah,
fun
he
fact
sure
for you guys,
is.
Though.
He sure is. Speaking of Invincible, continue next episode where we talk about.
I'll start watching it at some point this week. I got you.
I can't wait. We could talk about that too once you finish it. Oh man, Invincible's so.
I've heard good things.
Good. It's so good, man. Because he's the only superhero who gets his ass whooped every episode.
Yeah, I thought you were stronger. All right, I'm done. All right, guys, that's going to be the end of the episode, man. Thank you guys for hanging out for episode 186, man. We're creeping up on the big two, man, the big two hundo, which is just, I can't, once again, I know we say this all the time, but it's just crazy that we've been trucking along this far, man. And I'm so appreciative to have everyone here, man. And shout out to everybody in chat, man. I know we hadn't been talking to you guys as much today, but shout out to BZ, Tori, my wife, Lisa, Ivan, Sergey, appreciate everybody who was here, all of our listeners, our audio listeners, man. I'm telling you guys, if you guys should come hang out, it's live, we have fun here. You know, we appreciate you guys being here, whether or not you're on your favorite podcast platform or you're in chat. But we're gonna get up out of here, man. You guys can find me everywhere, Darius the Artist, where Easy3, and shout out to our homie Jamel, man. I appreciate you, bro. We love you around here, man. We hope things get better for you as well. And I'm gonna give DC the floor, man.
I'm squinting my eyes for our audio listeners because I forgot what you said. It pissed me off.
Who, me?
But anyway, yeah, you said that. I forgot what you said. You bastard. I can't remember.
I don't know.
We're going to get up out this thing because we've been a little long-winded, man. Everyone have a beautiful, great Saturday. I'm going to go kick it with the homies, Tori and Quay today, and just brainstorm on some ideas, man, and just get outside and breathe. Get outside of your house. Go outside and breathe. Touch the air and just breathe, man. Just breathe. Just mental health, man. Make sure your mind's right.
Put your naked foot on some grass. It'll do you some good, actually. Scientifically proven. All right, guys. Thank you guys for hanging out, man. If you guys are in chat, hang around. We're going to play some video games, and we will see y'all next week. Peace.
Peace.